You know how everything's a subscription now? Music, movies, even socks. I swear if I...
To continue this ad, please upgrade to Premium Plus Platinum.
What? No, anyway, Blue Apron...
This is a pay-per-listen ad. Please confirm your billing.
Oh, that's annoying. At least with the new Blue Apron, there's no subscription needed. Get delicious meals delivered without the weekly plan.
Wait, no subscription?
Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
Yeah, if you've got student loans, this is a month for those of you who are past due, well past due, that maybe you will see some wages garnished that is taking place this month. To talk about it with us from the Wall Street Journal is Oyin Adedoyin, who is a finance reporter for the Journal and joins us now on 104.1 FM KMOX. Oyin, good to talk to you. How are you?
Good to be here. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
We are doing okay. And I imagine that for people who thought they had their student loans forgiven, this is, you know, and now with the new administration in office, that this is sort of a shock to people that they are now going to be responsible for, paying these loans back and now having their wages garnished. So how is this going to work and who exactly is going to be affected?
Yeah, it's been a really stressful time for borrowers. You know, I mean, even the last few years with the pandemic pause and then, you know, sudden jump back into repayment, a lot of borrowers have already seen some of the consequences. If they've missed, you know, more than 90 days of payments, they've seen triple digit credit score drops already. And, you know, now the Education Department said that it expects the first notices of wage garnishment to be sent to about 1,000 borrowers in default by this week, and that notices are going to increase in scale monthly. And so, you know, those are borrowers who haven't made a payment on their student loans in more than 270 days. And especially for those who haven't made a payment in over 360 days, they are especially at risk of, you know, seeing up to 15% of their wages automatically deducted.
Do you know what the overlap is in the sense that the people who are going to see their wages docked to pay these student loans, are they the same people, all the same people who are going to have their student loan forgiven?
No. So it seems like people who are going to experience wage garnishment are not necessarily in that same boat as those who are supposed to have their loans forgiven. Now, this is a really confusing time, and you know, a lot of student loan advisors were saying that they're concerned about people who were in the, you know, saving on a valuable education plan, you know, the SAVE plan, where that has now been dismissed. So, you know, the 7 million borrowers that are in that boat are in a particularly confusing spot because they're not sure, you know, maybe they are supposed to get some kind of forgiveness, but they've been in a holding pattern, or maybe they're supposed to be transferring out to another income-driven repayment plan, but, you know, they've been in a forbearance period too where they haven't been making payments. So there are millions of borrowers that are either going to transition into this, you know, wage garnishment, potential wage garnishment sector, or they're going to transition somewhere else. We just don't even know where they're going yet.
Do we know if some of the people in this this group of wage garnishment are postgraduate or undergraduate debt?
That's also something that's a little hard to say. Mm-hmm. If you are in school and you haven't, you know, paid on your loans, let's say maybe you're someone who took out loans for undergraduate, but you're now in a graduate program, you're actually not allowed to take on a new loan until you're at a current status with your pre-existing loans. So for people who are receiving threats of wage garnishment who are currently in school, a piece of advice that I've gotten from an advisor on student loans is that they might consider consolidating that loan because that creates a new loan. It allows you to now borrow again to finish your education, and it at least, you know, defers the threat of wage garnishment so that you can get things back in order.
Oyin Adedoyin, the finance reporter for the Wall Street Journal, is with us on KMOX. And if you've got a lot of people have had student loans. Do we know what the numbers are, though, in terms of how much student loan debt exists now as opposed to maybe 10 or 20 years ago?
I mean, student loan debt has just grown exponentially. A lot of that has to do with the interest that accumulates for borrowers over time on the principal debt that's taken out. So for a lot of borrowers, especially if they've had loans for a long period of time, they might owe more than they actually took out in the first place. We know that the debt level for the federal student loans is roughly around $1.7 trillion now. So that's up a lot from even, you know, 5 to 10 years ago for sure. And then it's part of the reason why, you know, the Biden administration before and now the Trump administration have been trying to find ways to really tackle this problem, because at the same time, there are a lot of graduates that now graduate college with debt, but maybe they're not able to get jobs to pay it off.
And I know that in some cases, and I don't know exactly how it works, but the interest after a period of time becomes principal. So it's like you can't even, you know, you're right. I mean, you end up owing more, not just in interest, but you owe more on the principal than what you took out. How is that even allowed?
Yeah, I mean, that can happen in a variety of cases. I mean, in the case that I mentioned earlier with loan consolidation, for instance, it all kind of gets added together, you know, to create one new loan. And so that loan can capitalize, and the interest does now become your principal. And, you know, for borrowers who have had loans for a long time, I talked recently to Gen X borrowers who actually have, you know, the highest percentage of student loans, surprisingly, you know, ages 50 to 61, borrowers in that age bracket have a particular burden with student loans. And many of them have consolidated multiple times over the lifetime of that loan, and it's just continued to be added to the principal.
You also note in your piece in the Wall Street Journal how the government starts collecting that money. And you note that defaulted borrowers who haven't made a payment in more than 360 days or taken action to resolve their status could see up to 15% of their wages automatically deducted from their paychecks. But then also the government could withhold the entirety of any tax refunds as well.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, something really crazy happens once you do reach that defaulted period and the department has given prior notice. Then your loan gets transferred to basically like a collections agency. And that entire debt is essentially due. So the government can take many different actions to collect on that loan debt. And so, yes, like you mentioned, one of those actions is taking your, you know, tax refund, for example, if that's within how much you owe. They can take the whole thing if needed, while also at the same time also garnishing wages. So that can be, you know, a 1-2 punch for borrowers who are struggling financially.
Oyin, so we are talking a lot about student loan debt here. What about credit card debt? Because that has been a really big topic of discussion over the last couple of years, and how much credit card debt has grown since the pandemic. Is that continuing to worsen?
I'm not entirely sure whether credit card debt is continuing to worsen. I do know that people who have student loan debt also simultaneously have credit card debt and might have other forms of debt, medical debt as well. And so that creates a really interesting dilemma, right? Because you're trying to prioritize which debt to pay off. And with the threat of wage garnishment, I've seen surveys come out that people are now starting to put student loans above other types of debt. It used to be a little bit lower, you know, people thinking like, oh, I can make this payment at a later date, but I should prioritize, you know, my credit card or my car payment. But now student loans are starting to rise a little bit above some of that other form of debt.
Yeah, it's so interesting. Just going back to what you were saying about borrowers who have student loan debt, how they're older than I pictured. You know, it's between 50 and 61 years old, and they have the highest average student loan debt. And I just wonder how people in that age group probably have a lot of responsibilities, may have, you know, kids who are going to college. And we talked about credit card debt on top of student loan debt. That could be a really tough time for that age group.
Yeah, exactly. They're kind of the forgotten generation in a way, right? And also the sandwich generation, where they are thinking about, you know, should I now take out a loan on behalf of my kids? Because parents are able to take out loans for their children as well. So, you know, when you think about the picture of people who are struggling with student loan debt, a lot of people have one idea, right? Like recent grads, young people, but it really kind of runs the gamut, especially with loan holders who have had this debt for a long time or who are in grad school or pursuing other professional degrees, which tend to also be a higher portion of student debt holders.
Maybe you like cooking. Maybe you don't. Either way, the new Blue Apron is for you because along with our classic meal kits, we're offering new pre-made and one-pan meals to help you get dinner on the table fast. And now there's no subscription needed, so you can just order and enjoy. Do delicious food your way. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
So the government right now seems intent on getting this money. And from my impression, they are, kind of jerks about it. Are they offering real support for people who are pretty deep into student loan debt and feel crushed by it? Or is it just a, hey, you're on your own, figure it out kind of thing?
So, you know, as confusing as the student loan landscape is, the government is required to give borrowers, you know, a 30-day notice before they say, okay, we're going to send this wage garnishment order to your employer. So borrowers have time, even if they have reached that, you know, 270-day period or even 360-day period, they have a few options. And so one of those options is that they can just say that this is incorrect. If they notice any incorrect information with their loan balance or how much they're expected to repay, they can fight this. They can object to the wage garnishment order. They could also object to it if, you know, their financial or employment status makes it so that they're unable to pay. So that's one option. We talked earlier about consolidation, which is another option, especially for those who are currently in school still. And another option is also loan rehabilitation. And that's when you can get in touch with the education department directly, and they will set a payment for you, and you have to make about 9 consecutive payments to get back in good standing.
I don't know necessarily if this was part of your reporting, but, you know, as we talk about student loan debt, is there any appetite to address the issue that college is just way too expensive and that the cost of tuition is far outpaced inflation and other big costs because it doesn't feel sustainable? I think Vanderbilt became the first college with an undergraduate program over $100,000 a year.
Yeah, I mean, that's always front and center whenever I am talking to people about student loans, whether they are on the policy side of things or the advocacy side of things, or the advisor side or the students that are struggling with it, right? They feel like, you know, they have to pay all this money for an education and they're expected to pay even more for it back. And it just doesn't add up. I mean, on the institution side of things, you know, what a lot of people don't know because of the way that the finances are structured around education is that the sticker price or the published price that colleges often, you know, show on their website or you can see when you Google a college is more often not what students and their parents actually end up paying. In fact, more institutions have actually been heavily discounting the price of college in recent years. And so a lot of students actually tend to qualify for more aid once they actually apply and maybe they can negotiate. And so what I've found is that at least students today may be driven by those parents who are Gen Xers who, you know, regret taking on so many loans, are a little bit more financially savvy. They're either choosing to, you know, start with community college and then transfer to a 4-year, or they're trying to get as many scholarships as possible to make that price tag, you know, work for them.
Oyin Adedoyin, finance reporter for the Wall Street Journal. We appreciate your reporting. Thank you for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.